Never underestimate some of the very first things that we learn in life. Does not mean that they're basic and should be forgotten later on. Some of the most basic things we learn in life are often the most important, although they're easy to lose track of or to forget. And you can always tell what the most important things are because even the smallest individuals will try and tell you that you're doing them wrong. I know growing up, one of the most important things I learned was I never wanted to hear the phrase, "I'm telling." So I always made sure they didn't see me. That's not the way you're supposed to solve these problems, is it? We always have this reminder to us, don't we? Those people that point out the shortcomings we have, and they know what's right. Then they point it out to us. I'm telling, or, you know, I don't know, what's the adult version? I'm telling HR, I guess, or any number of other possibilities. Wait till I tell your spouse, I guess, could be another threat, I suppose. The curious thing that strikes me is how we respond to such a threat. The curious thing is so often, in my own experience, I don't know about you, but in my own experience, if my sibling threatened to tell my parents, my first response was not to try and correct my behavior, which would seem to be the obvious solution since what I was doing was wrong. No, instead my response was to silence the opposing voice. It's not really the logical solution, but it seems to be the shortest distance between the problem and what we're facing. Jeremiah was just like that. Everything Jeremiah did, from the time that God set him aside at a very young age till the time he died, he was like that really annoying brother you have that always threatens to tell. I was reflecting on this reading earlier today, and I actually thought of a seminarian. My very first year in seminary, I was a brand new seminarian, freshman in college, and just as innocent was going to get. And I remember having a fourth-year student. He was a senior in college, who used to always point out the shortcomings of all of us collectively as seminarians when we were out together. So if we were watching some television program and something awful happened on the television program, regardless of which moral failing it was, whether it was language or violence or sexual in nature, he would stand on the other side of the room and criticize all of us. Not the show. He would criticize all of us. Why are we watching this? And all of these things. Of course, he wasn't actually watching it. He was on the other side of the room. But he was really annoying. We really got tired of hearing him. So instead, we started tuning him out. By the way, he wasn't wrong. Those things should have been turned off, and we should have corrected behavior. And sometimes we did, and we responded to it well. But the real weird thing about it is often we just tried to ignore the voice instead. Here we have Jeremiah. What's he doing? He's demoralizing the soldiers who are left in the city. Jerusalem is about to be overrun. They have had terrible moral practices as well as terrible economic practices leading up to this. There are now Babylonians at the gates. There is no chance that they are going to win this one, short of a miracle. And Jeremiah keeps telling them that they are not going to get a miracle. Instead, God is going to crush them and God's going to burn down the city. These are the encouraging things that Jeremiah has to say. And what's the criticism? Jeremiah is demoralizing the troops that are left in the city. So what should we do? Should we correct our behavior? Should we start doing the things Jeremiah is telling us to do? Should we strive to improve our behavior in life? No, let's throw Jeremiah in a well so we can't hear him anymore. That'll clearly make it all better. It's so bizarre, but this is the resort that we take to, isn't it? It's strange, but it actually points to what we're facing in this gospel. Brother against father, or son against father, mother against daughter, daughter against mother, this two against three, this three against two. This is not going to be over who controls the TV remote or whether chocolate or vanilla is the best flavor. This is going to be after principal things that we know should be one way, but either through laziness or fear of rejection or denial or discomfort or uneasiness, we're going to think we can maintain peace if we just silence the disagreement. We try and say everything's going to be okay. We ignore the problem, or we say that we just have a difference of opinion, or we say you have my truth and I have my truth and you have your truth, or we tell ourselves any number of lies in the hopes that things will just go away. And yet Christ warns us very clearly. He says, I've come to set the earth on fire. I know we sing the song, let there be peace on earth, but honestly, at what cost is the genuine question we need to be asking? We strive to ensure, build up, and work for peace, but that doesn't change the fact that it does not always come, and we must not be afraid of the other side. I'm not saying we should go to open war. I'm not saying that at all. What I am saying is that we do need to stand for what's right. And if it does risk costing us peace, if it does risk meaning that we might not have just an easygoing time with everything that we do, we have to take that risk because we must stand for what's right. There are days we're going to have to be a little annoying like Jeremiah, and they're going to want to throw us in a well too. But genuinely consider the challenge that if we are called to live the life of Christ, if we are called to be children of God, then we better stand for something. Because if we don't stand for something now, no one's going to care if you stand for something tomorrow. The genuine challenge that is placed before us is that when we hear that annoying voice, we hear that thing that bothers us and gosh, it really troubles us. Are we really going to try and tune out the voice? Or are we actually going to try and address the problem? It's not an easy task. It's never something we're just like, that's of course what I'll do. No, it's going to take time. And it's going to be hard. And it's going to take an effort. But if we know what's wrong, we need to say no. If we know what's a problem, we need to resist it. And we risk family division. We risk 2-on-3 and 3-on-2 and all of these other separations. But remember, and I really want to stress this, remember, Jeremiah may have been the annoying voice that everyone wanted to silence. But do you notice he never really goes away either? Again and again, he's allowed to live to be what they mark as an old man. He starts as what they say is a young man into what they say is an old man. The whole time, his voice is never silenced. God does look after his faithful ones. He doesn't say it'll all be roses. He doesn't say it'll all be perfect. But he does look after his faithful ones. He does look after those who stay faithful to him. They may have thrown Jeremiah in the well. He may have gotten up to his neck in mud. I don't really know how deep it went. But he got fished out. And he saw the destruction of Jerusalem. He saw all of these things happen. We stay faithful to God. He stays faithful to us. The challenge we face this week, can I actually address the annoying voice in my life? Or am I just going to try and silence the annoying voice of my life?